Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office at 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. There are times when the Hindu says, I have found the answer, but I will worship one of the million transcendent impersonal gods and escape rebirth as a reptile or a woman. Maybe the Buddhist says, I know the answer. It's self-denial and self-sacrifice. And the Confucianist says, study the sacred classics. Learn the rules of righteousness, but in the end you must follow the path of duty, and that path ends at the grave. But the power of salvation rests in this one fact. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ marched up Calvary's lonely hill, and there He became the sin substitute for all men of all ages throughout all of time. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How are we saved? We are saved by grace. Somebody say amen. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of you know you're saved here this morning? Shout a big amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm saved by grace through faith. Now, there's a difference between grace and mercy. Both of them are important, and sometimes they're used almost interchangeably in Scripture. But there is a huge difference. You see, there was a time when you and I were lost without God, without hope in this world. We were headed at breakneck speed to a sinner's hell. But mercy stopped us, and mercy said no. Mercy reached down and found us where we were in the depths of sin, brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, out of the quagmire of sin. God, because of His mercy, reached down and brought us up. And the Bible said He set our feet on the solid rock and established our goings, and put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto God. Mercy said, you're not going to hell. You deserve to go, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and the wages of sin is death. But mercy said, no, you're spared. You're not going to hell. But grace said, not only are you not going to hell, but now you're going to get what you don't deserve. Now you're going to have love and joy and peace. Now you're going to know contentment. Now you're going to know purpose in life. Now you're going to have hope and a promise. Grace turned around and gave to me what I did not deserve. Mercy said you're not going to get what you deserve. Grace says you're going to get what you don't deserve. Somebody said grace could be used as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. I do know this, that grace is exemplified and grace is described in Psalm 103. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I have received the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I am saved. Is there anybody here saved this morning? Hallelujah. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. The just shall live by faith. Your faith doesn't save you. It's faith in the grace of God. I don't have faith in myself that I can save myself. In fact, I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes of my life, if you could put it all together, to get me into heaven. I'm saved by faith in the grace of God. It is the unmerited favor of God. It said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, I'm not saved by works, neither are you. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, what is the purpose of works? Jesus said, men will see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. James talked about works and called them corresponding actions. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, I can stand up here and tell you that I believe that God wants to bless me, that God wants to prosper me. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. But when God says, bring the tithe and offering into the storehouse and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, I have to tithe in order to see that blessing, because my tithing is a corresponding action. My faith says God is my provider, God is my source, and my good works can be interpreted as tithing, water baptism, communion. All these things that I do because I'm saved, not in order to be saved. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, I believe water baptism cleanses you from sin. No, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from sin. But once you're cleansed from sin, you ought to go find a place to get baptized, because that's how you seal the deal. Amen. And you say to the devil and to the world and to your family and to your friends and your fellow worshipers, I have been born again. I've passed from death unto life. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. And that's what water baptism is about. Otherwise, you go into the baptistry, a dry sinner, and come out a wet sinner. There's nothing you can do on your own and by yourself that will save you. It's not by works. I couldn't have saved myself, but oh, what God did made all the difference for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to take just a moment this morning, if I may, and lead you on a guided tour of Calvary. You ever thought about it? And I've been over there many times to the land of the Bible. One of my favorite spots is to go to Calvary. And I can see it in my mind's eye right now. But there were three crosses there. The cross of a Savior, the cross of a saint, and the cross of a sinner. On one cross, you have someone dying under the penalty and guilt of sin. On another cross, you have someone receiving the sin offering and forever being changed. And on the middle cross is the emaciated form of the one who came to be the sin sacrifice and the sin substitute, the one who canceled the sin debt. So you have three crosses. Each of us this morning is represented by one of these three crosses. I won't tell you which one you are, but I'll tell you which one you're not. You're not the Savior. Amen? Either you are a saint or a sinner. Somebody I heard preach one time says, I'm just talking to two kinds of people today, the saints and the ain'ts. If you're not a child of God, you're not a saint. We're called to be saints. We're called out of this world. And so I see Jesus hanging suspended between heaven and earth in the arms of that cruel cross, as if to say he's not good enough for heaven, but he's too good for the earth. And there he suffers and bleeds and dies for us. Now, folks, I want you to know something, and this is going out over television. It'll be seen on Facebook, and it'll be seen on social media, and it'll be heard over our international radio network battle cry. And I want people to understand something. You don't become a Christian by just going to church. You don't become a Christian because you're not a Muslim or you're not a Hindu or you're not a Buddhist. You don't become a Christian just because you're not Jewish. You become a Christian when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life as your Lord and Savior. Come on, somebody. That's how you become a Christian. You know, just the other day I bought something, and I don't usually do these things because I've tried so many of them and they don't work. But I told my wife, I said, honey, somebody opened the door on your car and there's a real bad dent. And I want your car to look nice. I'm going to buy me the Dent Master. Cost me $39.95. Since then, I found out you can get two of them for that. But, oh, it looks so good. And I said, I'm going to do it. I ordered it. 2 weeks later, it showed up. I said, honey, I'm going to fix that dent on your car. She said, okay, I go into the garage. And I do everything it tells me. I follow the details meticulously. You've got a glue gun. You put glue on there. There's a little tab that you insert and it sticks to the glue. Then there's a device that you clamp on to the little tab, and then you pull on it and the glue pops up and the dent comes out. Well, I did it the first time and the dent was still there. I said, I got to do it again. I did it again. I read the directions, I know, 25 times because I usually don't. I thought, I'm going to do this right. It's my wife's car. When I got through, I looked at it and I could still see the dent, and I read the fine print and it said, you'll probably have to follow this procedure at least 10 times. Well, I kept going and finally I got it halfway decent. It looks okay. It's not perfect, but it looks better. Now, here's my point. I spent an hour and a half in the garage. It didn't make me a Buick or a Ford. Some of you think that because you come here an hour and a half on Sunday morning, it's going to make you a Christian. It takes more than that. You must be born again. You must pass from death unto life. You must have your name written in heaven. There must be a transformation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things are new. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. Galatians asks the question, how can God be just and justify the sinner? And answers the question in chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 750 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger, Isaiah said he was despised and rejected of men, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, for there was no beauty that we should behold him, talking about how he was, his visage was marred, talking about how he was so brutally beaten and mercilessly beaten, and there he is hanging on the cross. But he said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm saved today because of what Jesus did on Calvary. He didn't just die. He died in my place. Hallelujah. His death was substitutionary. His death was vicarious. He died so that I could live. Hallelujah. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I want you to turn to your neighbor. If you're washed in the blood, if you're a child of God, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I am who God says I am. Tell him right now. I am the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, if you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know the difference between a drunk and an alcoholic. Drunk doesn't have to go to the meetings. But if you go to AA, they'll have you stand up and say, hello, everybody, I'm Steve. and I'm an alcoholic. If you go to drug rehab, they'll make you stand up in front of the group. The therapy is this. You got to admit who you are. You got to own it. Hello, everybody. My name's Bill, and I'm a drug addict. But I want you to know, because of Calvary, I don't have to stand up and say, hello, everybody. I'm Sam. I'm a sinner. I can tell you I am a child of God. My name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm not everything I'm going to be, but bless God, I'm not who I used to be either. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what the grace of God is all about. And until you understand what happened at Calvary, you'll never understand the grace of God. Here's Jesus, the just crying for the unjust. The one who's sinless and separate from sinners, pure and holy. But he's become sin for us. Why do you think people hated him so much after that? Why do you think they were able to beat him with their fist and pluck the beard from his face, to slap him, to pommel them with their fist, and to call him all these terrible derogatory names? Because they saw something in him that they'd never seen before. They saw their sins in him. Everything they loathed and detested about themselves, they saw in Jesus. Because when he prayed in the garden and said, not my will but thine be done, his soul became an offering for sin. And so here he is hanging on that cross. Christianity was born there, but Christ died. Don't forget, the price of our redemption was the death of Jesus on that cross. They said, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Truer words were never spoken. How could Jesus save himself and save you and me? So he offered himself there on that cross and shouted, it is finished. I believe all of hell went into convulsions. I believe that's why the earth shook. I believe when the curtain was rent in the temple, that 16-inch pure linen curtain that separated men, carnal men, from the presence of God, was rent by the finger of God. When that happened, God was saying, there was no way you could ever approach me until now, but now you can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Now you can come because of the shed blood. Now you can come boldly. You can come telling all because of the grace of God. You and I can now come into the very presence of God in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. 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 No more blood-soaked garments of the priest. No more lambs and turtle doves and bullocks offered as a sin sacrifice, because that one sin sacrifice has been offered forever to cancel the sin debt. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that hath thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It is finished. The plan of salvation is finished. There's nothing I can add to it. There's nothing else I have to do. It is finished. It is finished. And I can come to Jesus today, just like I am, and be saved. See, it doesn't make any sense in the natural for me to tell you that you could come into this room today steeped in sin, bound by chains of sin, and be set free and walk out of here a new person. And what the enemy has done, he's convinced this world that Christianity is just like anything else. You just go to church, you try to do the best you can, but in the end you don't know what's going to happen. But the truth is, that when we come to him in repentance and we give our lives to him, we are transformed. We are changed, literally changed, so that we bear the image of Christ. Christ lives in us. And the Bible says, these are the words of Paul. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Quickly, let me ask you this. From what are we saved? People say, I'm saved. What are you saved from? Well, three things. From Satan, from sin, and from self. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Make no mistake about it, Satan is an avowed enemy of anyone who professes to know Christ. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he plays for keeps. And if the devil had his way in your life today, he would drag you down to hell, and he'd drag you through every mud hole between here and hell. He wants to wreck and ruin your life. There was a young man a couple of years ago spoke from this pulpit. He had been known far and wide as the next Billy Graham. He was young enough that he could relate to young people, polite enough that the older people respected him. Seemed like he had a great handle on theology, that he understood grace. And this place on a Sunday morning was packed to hear a young man share his testimony about how he had found the Lord. Last night I was shocked when I saw a post where he was giving the finger to everybody on social media and saying, I don't care anymore about what you think. I don't care anymore about my upbringing in church. I don't care anymore about so-called Christians who are hypocrites. I knew that there had been some changes in his life. I knew that there had been moral failure in his life. But see, if you don't correct that, if you don't go back to the cross, and you don't get back where you ought to be and where you should be with the Lord, what happens is you become filled with bitterness and resentment and anger, and you begin to direct your attack against the very people that want to love and restore you. There has to be some contrition. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Once you confess your sins, they don't have any power over you anymore. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But you cannot continue to conceal sin and hold the truth in unrighteousness without the judgment of God coming. Grace will prevent that. And I'm telling you this morning, if you've tried and failed and tried and failed, and you're so discouraged you don't want to try again, don't you listen to the devil. You come back to God, confess your sin to him. I don't even want to know about it. Tell God all about it, and then make up your mind that by his help and grace, you will live a holy life for him. Somebody say amen. So we're saved from the devil. Now I can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And any enemy that comes against me one way shall flee from me seven ways. Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.